going to ask you if you would pray with me before we begin today. Our Father, we are grateful for your presence in this place because we have felt it. We know that you are here. There is no doubt. We ask now that you will confirm your presence by speaking to our hearts. We sang those words so glibly, at least some of us sang those words. We have come with open hearts. And Father, we do open our hearts to you now that you may impart truth to us. Not the speaker, not any other person, not anybody to whom we would give allegiance, but your word. Let it speak to our hearts. This morning, we pray, oh, let the ancient words impart. Let us feel the truth. Let us know the truth. Let us rejoice in it. In Jesus' holy name, amen. The reason I prayed is because the text that Lil read to us a moment ago presents to us a troubling picture of Jesus. It is not the picture of Jesus that we like, or for that matter, even the one that the church leads us to expect. We have been taught to expect gentle Jesus, meek and mild. We prefer to sing, "Gentle Shepherd, come and lead us, for we need your help to find our way. There's no other we can turn to who can help us face another day." We want to relegate Jesus to a place that is his sometimes, but not entirely. We like gentle Jesus, all calm, smooth, passive, helpful whenever we need him, but never demanding, and certainly not forceful. But that is not the picture which Jesus gives of himself in the passage of Scripture just read to you from Luke's Gospel today. In the text set before you this morning, Jesus says, catch this, "I have come to bring fire to earth." Now, folks, fire is the symbol of biblical judgment. Jesus was declaring that through him and by him, the entire world is judged. He said of himself that he had stuff, a baptism, through which he must go. And he was talking about the ordeal that we have celebrated in the last couple of weeks that led to his crucifixion, betrayal, suffering, death, all done that we might have life. All done by the will of our Holy Father. All done as a turning point in human history, for by those events, everything is resolved. And a couple of things before I move on. Number one, your suffering, my suffering, is absolutely nothing compared to the suffering that Jesus Christ endured on our behalf. Nothing. You know why? We deserve to suffer. Because there is not one of us in this place who has not sinned, and sin deserves punishment and suffering. I got hay fever. You know why? Because sin was set loose in this world. Some of you got more serious things than hay fever going on, and the same root cause has set them all free. Sin. Your sin and my sin, but not the sin of Jesus Christ. He suffered for us, because of us, to set us free from our sin and its consequences. He suffered undeservingly. So no matter how greatly you may suffer, no matter how depressed you may feel, no matter how pushed down and unfairly treated, remember that your suffering is nothing compared to that of Jesus Christ, because you're getting what you deserved. And he died for you, to set you free. It's the thief on the cross. Don't you know? We deserve what we're getting, buddy, he said to the other thief. But this man has done nothing. His suffering is greater. And his suffering gives us life. I won't die. My body will, but I won't. Nor will anyone who believes in Jesus Christ. For even though we die, we will live. He has proclaimed it. It's why he died. So that you and me, you and I, we might. The whole world is judged by what Jesus did for us on Calvary's cross. Jesus said, "Do you think I have come to bring peace on earth?" That is what we think, isn't it? He said, "No!" Exclamation point. "I have come to bring division." Oh, how we want peace. We even fake peace. When there is no peace, we cry peace. But it is not what Jesus came to bring. He came by his own word to bring division. See, there is no way to the Father except through Jesus Christ, the Son. Either you pick Jesus as your Savior, or you are lost forever. That was settled for all time by the crucifixion and the resurrection. And to live, to have eternal life, you must choose Jesus. Above everything else, it must be more important to you than everything else. You must declare that you will follow Jesus to live. But folks, not everyone understands that. Not everyone believes that Jesus Christ is Lord. And even among those who profess to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, who say that they are his followers, there are those who only want a little bit of Jesus. We want Jesus when we want Jesus to help us through the tough times because we don't like doing it on our own and don't know how to get through it. We want a little bit of Jesus. But we don't want Jesus messing with our life. We don't want him telling us we can't do what we want to do. We don't want him saying this is okay, but that's wrong. We don't want to stand before him as servants. We want to stand before him and look him in the eye as an equal and say, "Do it my way, Jesus, or else." Don't we? A little help, but no interference, please. And I'll call you Lord if you just let me do whatever it is I want to do. When I want to do it, of course. But Jesus said, if you love me, you will obey me. He forces every one of us to choose. And that choice divides us. By his own word, folks, he forces division. Jesus said, families will be divided because of him. There will be those in any family who will pick Jesus. And they will resolve to live for him and to serve him. And in that same family, there will be those who decide not to pick Jesus. Some of them will flatly reject him, saying he is not what he claims to be. And others will pretend to pick him, but will only want the gentle part, not the part that brings fire. And the latter may fool themselves, and they may even fool us sometimes. But the one you can't fool is Jesus, because he looks on your heart. And he will cause division among us. Some will want Jesus, want him so badly that they will follow him anywhere he goes. Some will say that they want Jesus, but mean they only want the kind, gentle, sweet part. And some will reject him entirely. Jesus said, "You can read the signs which predict the weather. You know the storm is coming because you see the dark clouds in the west. And you say to yourself when you get up and hear the cicadas rumbling in the morning, it's going to be hot today. You can make a decision about whether you'll take your umbrella or your funeral fan. About such things you can decide," said Jesus. "But you can't see what is right before your face and which settles your future for all eternity," said Jesus. "Make peace before you are thrown into jail." He meant that you better choose him as your Savior and as your Lord now, before you stand in the court of God to be judged by fire. For if you stand before God at the last judgment without Jesus, you will be cast into hell forever. No plea. Nothing to be spoken in your defense. Condemned by the great judge forever. Here is the point. The Messiah, not gentle Jesus, meek and mild. The Messiah, Jesus the Christ, has come. He is here now before you, and you must choose. You can resolve to make him your Savior and your Lord. I need to tell you, it just ain't choosing him to be your Savior. The two things go together. You got it? They are plugged in, Savior and Lord. If you love me, you will obey me. If you're not willing to obey Jesus Christ in every detail of your life, you have not declared him your Savior. Because he has to be your Lord as well. I read this morning. I read this and it was like, whoa, you're right. Guy in the book I was reading said, "Shouldn't be hard for you to know what God wants you to do, since he told you about it in his book, the Bible." So you find yourself doing what's not there, not written in the book, not approved of in the book. You're the one who needs to change because you are not honoring Jesus as Lord. If you love me, you will obey me, he said. today. If you haven't chosen him, you need to make him your Savior and your Lord. For if you do, you will live even if you die. But if you don't, Jesus himself will declare you before his Father the judge unfit for the kingdom of God. And you will die in hell over and over again. It is written in his word. Amen. So today, because Jesus has come, I beg you, give it up. Choose. Choose Jesus.